Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to On the Bright Line podcast, Tales from Recovering Food Addicts, from the perspective of a physician, a therapist, and an off-the-wall storyteller. We are not affiliated or endorsed by Bright Line Eating, and all content presented in this podcast represents our personal opinions and does not represent medical, nutritional, or psychological professional advice.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of On the Bright Line podcast. We are zooming in once again because life is what it is, and we can't all sit in the same place.
I feel like life is lifey more than it's not lifey.
Yes, that feels like that. Yeah. We are all in the state of Washington right now. So there's something to be said about the fact that we are all here in Washington State. Mm-hmm. We are just in our, respective homes around the Puget Sound. So
I just keep getting sick, guys. I keep getting sick, and then no one wants to be around me, which is totally fair because I keep getting horrible plagues and I sound terrible, but I feel better. But this is just every time I travel, I get sick, and I've had to travel a lot. So I'm screwing up the group here. Sorry.
She is not Bonnie Stop.
No.
She's not screwing up the group. It is life is what it is. We thankfully have this beautiful technology where we can,
we can
still record a podcast, even if we're not sitting. Mm-hmm. It's not the same though. We will say we all love to be in the same room together. So anyway, there's a little caveat, but on today's episode, which is what you're here for, not to hear us talk about our lives, but we are going to talk about diet culture because we feel like there's a lot of things in the zeitgeist right now going on about diet culture within the BLE community and without the BLE community. Mm-hmm. So we really just want to have a discussion about like what that means, like what diet culture means to us and how we feel like it influences this program, influences our own programs and that sort of thing. So I don't know, Robin, let's just start with, I know that you did just a little Google search. Let's start with it's funny because I've had some like TikToks and some reels on Instagram go viral. And like, I always joke that like, if somebody invokes the name of Lizzo, that I've arrived because like, she is the example of like the body positivity movement in our, culture right now. And so I guess there's been a shift in what Lizzo has been saying publicly, which I'm unaware of as much as I should probably be aware. I'm unaware. So Robin, on to you.
Yeah, she just did a New York Times article. She did an interview with the New York Times, and she's doing a shift from body positivity to body neutrality, right? Mm. And so the language around that she's kind of coming up with is, what did she say? I think it's lazy for me to just say I'm body positive at this point. She said, it's easy. I would like to be body normative. I want to normalize my body, right? And so that's having peace with, there are parts of my body I might like, there are parts of my body I might not like. And you know what? It might change on any given day. And that what I choose to do with my body is no one else's business, right? And I love her for naming that. I love that idea of, my body is my business and no one has a right, just like we would say, no one has a right to comment on my size. And she's apparently gotten a lot of pushback. She's said she has done some dieting. She has lost some weight. And there are a lot of people in the body positivity camp that are really angry with her about that.
Well, and I want to speak to that because I personally, having been part of the movement, even before it was the movement, and basically saying, even as a larger bodied person, that I was going to wear whatever I wanted to wear, that I could still be sexy and beautiful and all the things, and not feel like that my size was holding me back from any of that. When I started to lose the weight in BLE, and never before, honestly, I've never felt the way I feel now. When I started to lose the weight, and I think it's really when I got to like more, normal size, whatever, not plus size clothing, that I started to feel like I was betraying all of that work that I had done in the body positivity movement to say that like, all bodies are beautiful, all sizes are beautiful, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I understand, how she probably is feeling, because it's like, if you put that out there, and then something changes about your body, then everyone mm-hmm. decides how they want to feel about it. And then they voice mm-hmm. their opinions about it, which is really, really interesting. So
they did the same thing to Adele. Remember Adele lost a lot of weight. And then it was like people were betrayed because they were like, well, you were the beautiful person that represented me.
Yes.
Right. You were the beautiful, famous person that I identified with as a larger bodied person. And now you've mm-hmm. betrayed the club because you changed your body. And it's like, I think I actually like her comment of body neutrality, because the idea is just what my body is shaped like is none of anybody's business. And it shouldn't affect mm-hmm. me being able to enjoy my life. There's the secondary issue of if excess weight from poor diet is making my health poor, it is affecting mm-hmm. my life, but it shouldn't affect my enjoyment in public, my enjoyment of my activities, mm-hmm. how other people interact with me should be based on my behavior, just like every other part of our appearance, right? The color of your skin, your age, your gender, none of those things are anybody's business or should be used to judge who you are or how you function in the world, right? And so I love the neutrality idea, because it's like we should be just neutral on people's appearance, period.
But I like you using that word judgment, because to me, that's exactly it, is that our society has become so quick to think it's perfectly fine to judge other people for, you know, anything, your size, your height, your the color of your skin, your gender, you're this, you're that. And to me,
I got a comment on a reel the other day. Oh, you'd just be so much more beautiful if you grow your hair out. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
I've lost 135 pounds. That's the point. But I'd be so much more beautiful if I grew my hair out. And I was like, well, it's a good thing I don't really care about your opinion, but geez Louise, like, you know what I mean? But people hide behind and I don't get a lot of negative comments. Like, I'll just put that out there. Like, my people know, like, it's a positive place. Like, don't come at me like that way.
Right.
But just even a comment like that, I'm just like, why would you feel the need to say that? I don't know you. Like, I'm not, you know, anyway.
But that's because in this society, we have become so quick to judge and be willing to fling that out there. Yeah. And when I hear people going to judgment, I'm like, all right, well, you're not in self energy. So tell me where you are if you're judging, right? Because self is all about compassion and curiosity. Mm-hmm. So why, you know, if someone is coming with judgment, or with kind of that all or nothing thinking of it's either my way or the highway, there's only one right way to do things, that immediately makes me suspect there's something going on with that person.
Absolutely.
That
you're projecting your own insecurity onto somebody else.
Right.
Sure. I mean, there was an actress who had a picture in the public that was like, you know, her belly was just the normal shape of a
human
normal
belly.
Size person belly. And it's like, oh, she's getting chubby. And then, you know, 6 months later, it's, oh, she's got anorexia. And she's too skinny. It's just like, you can't win with the, you know, with the haters, right? It's like, everybody's got to project their own bodily insecurity for themselves mm-hmm. onto everybody else that they need. Why do you need everybody else's body to look a certain way? So I think, you know, I think for people who have lived in a larger body all their life, to finally kind of have a comrade, you know, it kind of makes you feel, and then it just gets into this camp, like,
absolutely.
Well, that's your identity now. I'm a larger body person.
Like, you can see yourself represented. And like, I will tell you, as someone who was in a larger size body from a very young age, not having clothes that were made for women who were my size, mm-hmm. girls, honestly, like, let's be mm-hmm. honest, let's harken back to like my teenagers. There were not clothes that I could fit into as a young, you know, as a young lady, a young woman, whatever, mm-hmm. because I was plus size, and it was old lady clothes or it was boy clothes. Like, those were my options. And so to me, it's like the body positivity movement was also about like finding, you know, like, and clothes may seem so trivial to some people, but it's like, if you literally can't go to the store and find clothes, and you see all of your friends who are small and smaller size bodies getting to wear these cute outfits and whatever, and you can't do that. And I, you know, if you know me, you know that like fashion is a thing for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just, you know, like, it was heartbreaking to be in that place where it's like, I couldn't wear the clothes I wanted to wear because they didn't make them for people who are my size. Mm-hmm. So when there are celebrities now that are in, you know, in the public eye in larger bodies, and, you know, now we have clothes that fit all size bodies because, you know, these celebrities are advocating for those things for, you know, larger size bodies. It's like, of course, that's who I'm going to, you know, feel like represents me within the world. And they, you know, I can look to that as my representation. And so that things are, you know, things are changing in a good way, for that. But it's difficult. It's a difficult place to be when you're, I think, because I'm just thinking through, like, Susan did a vlog about the obesity paradox, which I think for a long time I believed you could be at a larger size body and be healthy, and that honestly, like, listening to her vlog, I've come to realize that, like, it's probably not true. Like, it's probably not true to carry a bunch of excess weight as much as I was carrying, especially, and really be the healthiest version of myself, which is what I am. I feel like I am now. I feel like I'm becoming the healthiest version of myself now. So it's like, that's the other thing to think about, is like, what is true health? Like, what are you looking for as far as health? And like, is mental health, I mean, because some people would say like mental health is more important than physical health. So, you know.
And on the flip side, after being a physician all my life and taking care of patients with weight problems and now finding this program, I kind of realized that none of the diets work. And I saw this young lady on social media yesterday who was, you know, probably, you know, not severely overweight, but probably 50 pounds, 60 pounds overweight, had been overweight most of her life, and was in tears saying that people on social media were calling her fat.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she said, I've tried every diet and they don't work.
Right.
And this is just my body. And it's like, is, because you've tried every diet, because the diets don't work.
Right.
Right. And then, but then also, like, again, it comes back to, why are other people judging our body? There's two separate issues, right? There's the first issue of, I am all for everybody having autonomy over their body and not being judged about their appearance. And then the secondary issue of, you know, like you said, assessing the diet situation. Does a diet help someone lose weight, or do you need to address something else to be healthier?
Right.
You know?
Well, and I think that's like, let's, like, you know, narrow the scope, because we want to talk about diet culture. Exactly. And, you know, we're talking about like, you know, body positivity, all that kind of stuff. But like, diet culture, like, feeding into that, like, funneling this down, is that, you know, diet culture is exactly that. It's a diet. It's about losing weight. And I think the thing is that I would never, ever, ever. And it's funny, Susan just put out a vlog this week about, you can diet, you could use BLE as a diet, you can, and lose weight. But if you do not make a shift in your way of thinking to get into maintenance and to stay in maintenance, and that this is your identity, da 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 da, you're going to gain your weight back, which is 100% true. I mean, I living proof. I've dieted 100 times before, not really 100, but a lot of times before. I've dieted, I have gone on a diet, I have changed my way of eating, change my way of exercising, whatever I did, to get to a number, which I'd never gotten to in the past. And as soon as I stopped the diet, right back up.
Yep.
And so if the fixation is, and I think this is the part that I want to talk about the most, if the fixation is a number on the body scale, the likelihood of maintaining and persevering within BLE is probably not very good, because the mentality shift has to be that this is who I am now, and the abstinence of BLE and the bright lines is what I need to maintain my neutrality around food.
And that tags directly to the body positivity thing, because again, if I am focused just on being a certain weight to please everyone else, to look a certain way for society, And my focus is not on just having a healthy body that can carry me through my wonderful life, you're not going to succeed. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
And that piece of wherever someone is on their feelings about their body, right? If someone says, I want to embrace body positivity, I don't want to make changes in my weight, I want to connect with my body and who I am, awesome. If someone says, I want to do, you know, I don't have food addiction, I want to do intuitive eating, awesome. If that works for you, go for it. But if someone is willing to say, I have food addiction, and the intuitive eating people will generally say there is no such thing as food addiction, right?
Yeah.
if you are someone who says, I believe in food addiction, I have a food addiction, and doing BLE and all the components, right, of the IFS work, the self-work, the EAP, you know, being willing to maybe look at trauma and do some counseling, if that's where someone is.
And the ends is stay sober, to stay in sobriety from your food addiction for your for your life, because that's your goal.
But you have to believe that a food addiction actually exists first. Like, I think that's the other thing. The surrender part of this is really important too, in that, you know, again, this is not part of diet culture. Diet culture is, I'm going to white knuckle it, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to cut until I get to my goal. Like, that's, to me, like, that's the, you know, the epitome or definition of what a diet is. It's like, I'm going to restrict and sacrifice until I get to a goal, and then I don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
Where BLE and this lifestyle shift is surrendering and saying, I can't ever go back to the way I was before, because if I do, I will not have neutrality around food, and I will not have any freedom around food. Right.
My frustration though is people that are, again, you know, one way or the other. Oh, you can only do it this way, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that judge BLE as being part of diet culture. They will call it disordered eating, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got beaten up on a therapist group for even suggesting, you know, someone was posting about a client, you know, hey, what do you think is going on? And I said, oh, you know, have you thought about food addiction? Oh my God, I got called everything but an ugly redheaded stepchild, right? I got reamed. And these are other therapists.
That's what's so therapists, sad.
Right? And it's like the judgment.
Because you know why? Right? If you're in a room full of alcoholics and you say, I wonder if drinking too much is a problem, watch how uncomfortable they get. So a lot of therapists are a lot of human beings, and a lot of us have problems with disorder.
But it's their adherence to their one view of food. And these were all ended up being a lot of therapists that worked with, you know, people coming for eating issues, right? And a lot of them were in the body positivity and intuitive eating camps. Right. And they did not want to have any belief that food addiction was a real thing. And that just really shocked me, to be that, the, you know, this group of therapists, people that I would think were, you know, open-minded and had a variety of views, would be so judgmental.
Yeah.
So judgmental. And like, they mean girled on me. I was like, all right, got it.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's rampant. Yeah. It is rampant.
It's among physicians too. Physicians are, there's a lot of physicians. I mean, I'm in my mid 50s, right? So I trained however long ago, and everybody my age, and maybe even a little bit younger still, are just directly taught, you know, it's calories in, calories out, and it's self-control and healthy choices. And you know, you need to exercise and control yourself, just control yourself. I saw a post yesterday with a guy talking about, you know, that he went to the doctor with all these GI complaints, and he's, you know, he basically said, well, you know, you need to lose some weight and you're getting older, and he just blew him off, you know, and then weeks and weeks go by. Long story short, the guy has a horrible stenotic, you know, common bile duct, gallbladder disease, you know, a miracle surgery for his getting old and obesity was taking his gallbladder out, and he's fine now. And, you know, and he actually said, I guess I'm getting a little taste of what women say they hear from the doctor all the time when they complain about whatever and they're told they're just a woman. Yeah. But I guess that's a thing too, that I know physicians don't listen to people, but you know, that's the thing, is even clinicians, right? Even physicians are biased when they see somebody. He said, I guess I better lose weight before something else bad happens to me, so that when I don't go in, when I go in, it doesn't just get attributed to my weight. Right. Yeah. And so even physicians who should be there to help people are biased to thinking that it's a willpower problem, and they don't believe in food addiction.
And so let me talk about this. I've lost 135 plus pounds now. I still am not in normal BMI range, and that makes me a little twitchy, not because of the number on the scale, but because I don't want to walk into the doctor and then to say, well, you're overweight. So that therefore, and it's like, I've lost 135 Right. But it's like, but because of a stupid number, right? Because of a stupid number. And so I think that that's, you know, we have all these weights and measures of what is normal, what is not normal, you know, what my body looks like, what, how I carry weight is much different than other people carry weight. And I just think that there's, you know, we've as a medical community, as a community, we just need to evolve past the idea of like, there is a perfect, you know, there's a perfect body, number one, because there's not. Nobody has a perfect body. Everybody has something that they don't like about themselves. Like even supermodels, I guarantee. But just that also like, you know, that judging other people for whatever our perceived issues are. And generally it's, you know, we're projecting our own issues. Right. So I think, you know, talking about within the BLE community, I do feel like sometimes there is some fixation on the scale, the body scale. And we talk about that, you know, the program touts, a goal range and not a number, not a singular number, because I think that that's really important. I think the other thing that I find most encouraging in hearing people talk about is like sometimes people just like say, they just declare maintenance and they're like, my body doesn't want to lose any more weight, so this is where I'm going to stay, even though this might not have been what my original goal was. And like, I've kind of even done that too. Like this is not what my original goal was. My original goal was much lower, but I've already decided like, if this is where I stay for the rest of my life, I am perfectly happy and healthy and good. You know, and it's just like, it doesn't have to be about a number. It does not have to be about a number. It has to be about, I can do all these things that I can do.
Yeah, there's something very beautiful about crossing the threshold of making peace with the fact that, again, we're not going into the diet mentality. I need to be skinny and beautiful for everyone else to love me or think I'm good. And moving into, I want to have a healthy body that carries me through a full life without suffering. And with the ability to enjoy my family. I mean, that's really the thing, right? And I'm going to tell you a secret. If you come from big numbers and you lose weight, your body is not going to look like what you thought it was going to look like at 20 or something. No one has that experience. And everybody's body ages, even if you were never overweight.
Body, stop talking right now. I don't know.
If you were never overweight, it's like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Father time continues, right? And so this fixation on our beauty is just so warped and flawed, because beauty is fleeting. I mean, even the most beautiful actresses age and the most beautiful actors age, and you know, we all age. And it's like this whole fixation on our worth from our appearance is just awful and needs to be undone.
Agreed. And I think that, you know, tying that into the diet culture about if your ideal is to be the healthiest version of yourself, and that's why you're involved in BLE, that's why you're listening to this podcast, that we need to uncouple ourselves from a singular number or a size, you know, like what we need to do is we need to live our life in the healthiest way that we can, and whatever that looks like for each of us. And if some people are, you know, overweight BMI, me raising my hand, you know, you are overweight BMI, but that's your healthiest version, be overweight BMI and be your healthiest version.
The scale is just a tool like tracking your labs to know if the overall project of changing to healthier food and controlling your portions is being successful. You know, but where that final number lands is not the same for everybody, even of the same bone structure or the same, because there's age and genetics and lots of other factors in there. Even we've talked about loose skin weighs something. So sometimes you're not at your weight, but it's like some of that weight, if you come from big numbers, is literally from skin.
Right.
So this whole obsession with the scale needs to come to an end.
Yeah.
I'm a visitor. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Anyway, so what I would say is like, I mean, and I hope you guys agree with me, and I think you do, in this program, the idea is that a third of the people are highly susceptible to food addiction, right? A third of us are in that camp. We are 8, 9, 10 on the susceptibility scale. And
two-thirds in this meeting.
Well, two-thirds in this meeting, but I'm just saying we are an anomaly. No, I'm just kidding. But just, or 7, 8, 9, whatever the numbers are, a third of the population.
We just go hard. We do it all the way, Megan.
We do it all the way. We don't mess around, man. But if that's the case, and you know, 33% of us are food addicts or have some, you know, some susceptibility to food addiction, then we can say the goal is not to be this a certain weight. Like for me, Like, that is no longer the goal of my life. Like, yes, I did come into this program to lose weight and to better my labs, really, like, honestly, to better my health in general, like, to fix my labs. But, like, mm-hmm. I realized along the way that even, like, changing my lab values is not what this is about. What this is about is gaining neutrality and freedom over food addiction and not using food inappropriately anymore in my life. And will I always be, you know, perfect? I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that question, but I think the reality is that I will, there's never a goal. There's never an finish line for that. Like, it's going to be for the rest of my life. And it's actually wonderful because I've gained so much by surrendering to the fact that I'm a food addict.
Agreed. Agreed. Couldn't have said it better.
We're going to stick a period at the end of that one. Done.
Boom.
Mic drop. Well, anything else we have to say about diet culture tonight, guys?
Love yourself every day for who you are. Don't worry about what your body looks like. Amen. Doesn't matter.
Amen and amen.
No one's on their deathbed saying, I just wish I'd lost another 5 pounds.
Right.
Why couldn't I fit into those jeans? Soft pants, people. That's what we want. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So I think I don't think I need to say anymore. I think I've said it. I think that we just really want to, you know, spread the message of love yourself no matter what. Like, you know, that's the journey that the three of us are on. And thankfully I have two amazing friends that I can walk this path with that will remind me when I'm not doing a good job of that. So thank you, Bonnie and Robin.
Same back at you.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that is our episode for today, guys. Thank you so much. As always, if you have topics that you would like us to discuss, questions, show ideas, guest ideas, shoot us an email on thebrightlinepodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on any of our socials. Have a beautiful day.